Okay, let's talk some trash. Every day, 2 million people living in this city dispose of packaging, tissues, cups, food, and yard waste. How is it that we don't wake up surrounded by garbage every morning? It takes a lot of coordinating, hard work, and money to keep a city beautiful, clean, and garbage-free. So what happens to our trash and recycling after we kick it to the curb? I'm Suzanne Hogan. This is Central Standard on KCUR. Today on the program, getting to know the story of our garbage, where it goes, how much we're throwing away, how trash is managed in our community, the role of recycling programs, and a regional plan to divert solid waste 80% by the year 2023. Stay with us for Central Standard just after this hour's news. Trash day was this morning in my neighborhood. We put out our two bags in a bin on the curb last night, and this morning, by the time I got out of the house to come here, it was gone. But just because my garbage is out of sight, it can be easy to forget that the story of those trash bags and their contents lives on. Trips on garbage trucks, sorting facilities, the dumps or landfills, eventually decomposition, with the trash bag itself could take 10 to 20 years when exposed to air, or 500 to 1,000 years to decompose in a landfill. Good morning. This is Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Suzanne Hogan. It takes a lot of coordination and planning to figure out what to do with the solid waste that we don't want around anymore. Today on the show, the story of our community's garbage, where it goes when we're done with it, and efforts to reduce solid waste. We have a panel of solid waste experts in the studio. I'm joined by Craig Wood, Solid Waste Management Coordinator for Johnson County. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also, Marlene Leonce, Senior Environment Officer for the City of Kansas City, Missouri.
Good morning.
And Kevin Anderson of Missouri Organic Recycling. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
So let's start first, Marlene, with the City of Kansas City, Missouri. How much solid waste does the Kansas City Metro throw away every year?
On average, we throw away maybe 90,000 pounds every year.
And are we seeing that number growing or decreasing?
Actually, with the implementation of recycling, that number has decreased rapidly.
What kind of things are we throwing away the most?
Believe it or not, 75% of, or maybe 90% of the things which we throw away can be recycled. So paper products, cardboard, and maybe 50% of that is organics. We throw away a lot of food.
And where does all of this trash go?
Well, currently, most of our trash goes to a landfill in Sugar Creek, Missouri.
And that's for the entire city of Kansas City, Missouri?
Yes, and that and I would like to say that's residential trash only. That does not involve commercial trash.
Where does the commercial trash go?
Well, the commercial industry, they're responsible for getting rid of their own trash. So they contract directly with the waste hauler, and that trash goes maybe to a landfill in Lee's Summit or Sugar Creek or sometimes to Kansas.
Craig Wood, you're with Johnson County, mm-hmm. Solid Waste Management Coordinator. Do you have a sense of how much solid waste is thrown away every year in Johnson County?
Yes, it's probably a similar amount to Kansas City, Missouri, but our landfill is regional. And so we take in stuff from not just Johnson County. It's owned and operated by a private company, Duff & Baugh Incorporated. And so we take in the landfill that we're responsible for planning on the planning purposes, take stuff from a region, not just Johnson County.
And just recently, in 2011, you changed your yard waste policy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. What we did with our planning process is one of the things that we did was look at the contents of the landfill, and we did what's called a waste sort. So we looked through, we took samples from about 800 trash trucks a day for a week, one fall in 2006, and then again for a week in the spring of 2007, and basically made a giant pie chart out of that and found out some of the similar statistics that Marlene talked about, that about 42% of what was going into our landfill was paper products, everything from cardboard to newspapers, to everyday paper. And one of the fourth most prevalent thing was yard waste. So it was leaves and grass. So one of the things we wanted to do to reduce that 10% by weight was to separate actually out the yard waste from the regular trash so we could actually process it differently, similar to what Kevin does, which is through composting. And Missouri has had a regulation like that for about 20 years, I believe, Marlene.
That's correct.
And so we wanted to kind of get more to a modern system so that we could actually process that yard waste differently than just throwing it into the landfill.
Was that a hard transition to actually implement amongst residents?
The transition wasn't hard, but conceptually, I think it did take some time for people to get used to. But I think they've made that transition very successfully.
And how much does it cost to make a transition like that?
You know, we didn't pay a lot for that, but you know, the transition for the haulers was significant because it basically routed an additional truck to pick up. You have a truck for yard waste, you have a truck for trash, and you have a truck for recycling.
So, Kevin Anderson, you've been doing organic recycling in Missouri for how long?
A little over 20 years now. It's since that regulation in Missouri, the Department of Natural Resources actually banned yard waste in the landfills in the state of Missouri. And that gave us an opportunity to start separating the yard waste and processing green waste, brush, grass, leaves, that type of material since 1993.
So how does that work? I mean, there's yard waste pickups two times a year then for the city?
Right. The city of Kansas City, we're a contractor for the city of Kansas City. The city of Kansas City contracts out the collection and they do it themselves. They bring it to us and then we process that material into compost. So a couple times a year we get an influx of grass and leaves and twigs that we process and make our signature compost.
Now, is having yard waste in landfills bad for landfills?
You know, it can be. You know, that's one of the big reasons to pull that material out is greenhouse gas emissions. You know, that material also is a resource. I mean, there's no reason for it to put it in the landfill. So, you know, if we can make products out of it and put it back into the environment to better the environment, that's what we're trying to do. So
the dump consists mostly of food and yard waste.
Sure.
I was surprised to hear food. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we eat a lot of food. We dispose of a lot of food. Almost 50% of what we produce in the United States actually ends up in the landfill as waste. So, you know, ultimately, a lot of food goes in the landfill, and it's a lot of resource that can either be captured for energy, for compost, for soil amendments, and things like that that we try to make happen, at least at a small scale here in Kansas City.
Where does this food come from? Do you all collect it from certain places?
Yeah, we do. You know, we're collecting from commercial mainly at this point. In the Midwest, we typically focus on the commercial. Other parts of the country, they're collecting residential, but that's to come. It'll happen probably sooner than we all think. But ultimately, it's a commercial process. You know, facilities like all the grocery stores, Hy-Vee, Price Chopper, Walmart, places like that. So that's where really where we start, plus food processing facilities.
Craig Wood, you had something to add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Kevin and I worked together on a project with one of our school districts in Johnson County, Shawnee Mission School District. And we had, I believe last year we had about 12 different, we had about seven or eight that Kevin and I worked with to actually reduce their lunchroom waste. And that food waste recycling coming out of the cafeteria was really critical to reach, you know, really high volumes of diversion. So, you know, like up to about 80% coming out of the cafeteria. So it's really a big game changer.
But to make a switch to residential, what kind of things would you have to do education-wise?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the biggest challenge for residential food waste collection. I mean, there is a yard waste component. The food waste goes perfectly in that yard waste component. But it's the education process because ultimately the contamination really is what hurts the organics the most. And the contamination, I mean plastic bottles, aluminum, styrofoam, you know, materials like that. So we have to build on the education that we're doing today with the commercial side to get the residential community to understand what can and can't go in that can before we lay that out for them to be able to utilize.
And Marlene, you're probably pretty familiar with that process. You've been a part of helping get recycling offered in Kansas City that started in 2004.
That's correct.
What were some of the challenges in adding that service?
I think the most challenging thing about recycling is the misconception that people thought they had to sort the trash to get recycling done, but recycling is so much easier than that. I usually tell residents that the best way to recycle is to have a trash bin next to your recycling bin. So once that container is empty, you have a simple choice. Either it goes to the recycling bin or the trash bin.
Was there an immediate decrease in solid waste disposal when the recycling program started, or did it take some time?
It took some time because the recycling program, actually, it was also implemented along with pay-as-you-throw. So residents, not only were they allowed to recycle, the number of trash bags they were allowed to put on the curb decreased. So they were only allowed 2 trash bags.
Craig?
I just wanted to add in, I think, too, the technology has really changed recycling a lot, because you can mix all your recycling now, whereas before, sometimes in the early days, you had to kind of separate out all the different items, or they sorted it on the curb. Now you can throw everything in there, and it's mechanically sorted or physically sorted.
And so. I've often wondered what happens if, like, a culprit gets in there. Does that mess up the whole batch, or how does it work? Once it leaves my bin, and how does it end up reused?
That's an excellent question, because one of our biggest culprits is glass. Residents would love to recycle glass on the curb. However, our material processing facilities, we have 2 in the metro area. They will not allow us to commingle glass with the other recyclables, because as we all know, glass is made from sand, and when it breaks down, it turns back into sand, and that can be very abrasive to the equipment, the processing equipment. So we recycle glass separately.
But they do go to a sorting facility where things are separated out.
Yes. As I mentioned, we have 2 facilities in the metro area, one in Kansas run and operated by Deffenbaugh Industries, and the other facility is located in Harrisonville, owned and operated by Town & Country.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Suzanne Hogan. We're talking about waste management services in our area, what happens to trash after it's collected, and the work that goes into keeping the city clean. Do you wonder where things that you once loved end up, or how our streets remain clean? Call us with your questions at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. And I want to bring in another member to the conversation, Donald Finley. You're an operations crew worker for the Kansas City Public Works.
That's correct.
And how long have you been working for the city?
I've been with the Public Works Department now around 26 years.
So I wonder, because trash day was this morning for me, and I got up early getting ready for this show, and y'all are out there really early. What
Absolutely.
Time do you wake up?
Well, you know, trash has always been, you know, it's early. It's an early start, you know. People say, well, I can't get up that early. But, you know, our crews, we're out there on the route about 6:45. Normally we're there at 6 o'clock every morning. Myself, I'm there at 5:30, getting prepped, getting the orders out, getting things ready. But normally, yeah, we're out there at 6:45 every morning.
How many people work for the Kansas City Public Works collecting waste? Marlene?
Mr. Finley can help with that question,
okay.
too. But
yeah.
Well, depending upon the day of trash collection, we have some heavy collection days, which is Thursdays and Fridays. But normally we run on our trash and recycling, we run between 12 to 16 trucks per day on trash and recycling.
So you mentioned that you get up around 5:30, you get there to get ready. I'm just really curious what just a typical day is like from the moment you get there and then till you get to leave and go home.
Well, first thing when I get up, I look and see what the weather's going to be like. The heat. The element plays a major part in what we do. So we try to get things started, you know, with the heat and how it's going to be. So that's going to determine by how many trucks we're going to run that day, you know, because it gets pretty hot out there, you know. So we try to help our guys out, you know, we try to put out more trucks, you know, to try to help them, you know, get off the ground as soon as possible. But, you know, it varies from time to time.
And I often wonder in the wintertime as well, I'm amazed at how you're still able to collect all that garbage, and I'm having a hard time getting out my driveway.
Yeah, you know, it's, sometimes it's rough, you know, but hey, we work through rain, sleet, snow, and ice. We never stop. We like the bunny. You've seen the commercial, about the bunny? Well, that's us. We go through it all, so, you know, it's a hard job, but them guys, they do it.
Do you work with the same crew every day?
Pretty much every day, absolutely.
And what kind of things do people do that makes your job harder?
Well, for one thing, you know, people, we try to let residents know they have their trash out by 3 o'clock the day before or 7 o'clock the next morning. But, you know, some people, you know, they get up, they rush, and they put their trash out late, and the truck has already gone by, and they call the 311 number, say the truck has passed me up, you know, these sort of things. So, but normally when we have what we call a pickup truck, that usually go behind the bigger truck to take up the slack for that things to happen. But, you know, you hear that all the time. You know, people put their trash out late, and they'll call and say, where the truck done passed me by, you know. But,
or if they put it out too early, what are some of the problems that happen?
They could put it out too early, and the dogs would get to it, you know, tear the trash up, you know. And so we try to do the best we can. And like I said, we just ask that the resident just abide by the rules, you know, just try to have your trash out at the normal time.
So Trash Amnesty was just a couple weeks ago, and just it's a time when people are allowed to put out up to 17 trash bags.
Actually, it's 500 pounds, or basically 12 to 15 trash bags, because the trash bags should not be more than 40 pounds per bag.
What is the reason for offering Trash Amnesty?
Well, the reason why we offer Trash Amnesty, because we recognize that 4th of July is a big holiday in the U.S. where residents tend to generate more trash because of family gatherings. So that is our way of helping them get rid of that excess trash which is generated during that time.
Does Johnson County do a similar thing?
Our system is set up where we basically have a kind of an overfill program where we have stickers. So that if you have extra trash outside of your cart, if you have a cart system, or we have basically a 3-bag limit, about 30 gallons apiece. So our maximum is about 95 gallons of trash. So anything above and beyond that, basically you work with your hauler and have like an extra sticker.
So Trash Amnesty for you then, Donald, that's probably the busiest time of the year for you?
Oh, absolutely. And the guys that do it, they hate it.
Oh, I bet.
But they do it, you know, because we pick up, I bet you, 10 times as much more trash than we normally do, you know. And when people say Trash Amnesty, I mean, they put everything. They unload on us. So
Do you all staff up?
Oh, absolutely. We staff up as much as possible. We put out more trucks. And, you know, every now and then, you know, you might have to do a little overtime, but normally we get it done.
And then, yeah, Marlene, go ahead.
I'd like to add that apart from city crews, we also have a contractor who also helps with the collection of trash. So on any given day, we have maybe 40 trucks, trash trucks, collecting trash and recyclables off the curb.
So then it must be frustrating, too, as all being in the business of keeping your communities clean, when you see things like somebody just littering or illegal dumping. What kind of things are your different programs doing to combat littering and illegal dumping? I guess we'll start with you, Kevin.
I mean, sorry, basically that, you know, that organic part, the brush part that we take, the green waste part, I mean, that is a common illegal dumping problem. And offering as many drop sites for the residents like the city of Kansas City does, they have three, one up at North Cookingham, north of the river, Choteau and Doramus, basically, 1815 Choteau. And then the one at 470 Raytown Road. Offering those sites on the weekends for free to those residents to dump helps curb, you know, helps solve that issue. And then just, you know, when the state banned that yard waste from the landfill, that problem is going to arise. And having those multiple sites to be able to collect materials definitely helps with the issue.
Craig?
For Johnson County, we do a lot of education and also just convenience of drop-off sites and allowing basically the haulers to take what get what needs to be done, but lots of education and lots of coordination of that education with the cities.
Is illegal dumping as big of a problem in Johnson County as it is in Kansas City?
You know, it really hasn't been a huge problem that I'm aware of. But, you know, the cities all enforce their own boundaries, and so we pretty much take care of the unincorporated area. Our public works, we work with our public works on those kinds of things, and I'll respond to different complaints for solid waste out in the unincorporated areas.
Marlene?
Well, like Johnson County, we also do education, but we also have an enforcement team. And residents can receive a ticket if their trash is set out too early or if it remains on the curb for too long. So we do have enforcement. But we have several programs we offer to our residents. We have bulky item keep up. We have neighborhood cleanup assistance programs. We have several other programs we supplement our trash collection services with, giving residents several opportunities to get rid of trash in an environmentally responsible way.
But yet it's still, there remain sites where people just make it a dumping ground. So, I read in the pitch that there's a team of people that go out and try to figure out who is dumping there, looking for pieces of trash and evidence. Is it something that you're taking very seriously and proactively trying to combat?
That's correct. Our enforcement crew, when we do identify an illegal dump site, they will go to that site and most times go through the trash and try to get addresses and anything that will identify that trash with a particular individual, and that individual will be prosecuted. So we do have programs in place to help with enforcement.
Are there some sites that see more illegal dumping than others, some communities?
Yes, we do. We see in some areas we have chronic areas where we will pick up the illegal dump items today and 2 days later, maybe Mr. Finley, several hours later, maybe 2 hours later, we go back to that same site and there'll be materials there too. So, yes.
Donald, you're shaking your head. What's?
Yeah, she's absolutely right. We are, you know, we have regular illegal dumping sites. I mean, we can clear one area today and the next day you go back through there and it's right back there again. It's like clockwork. You do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. By the time you get to 6, number one, it's back there like that again. So it's just a round the clock thing. You do it all the time.
This is Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Suzanne Hogan. We're talking about garbage in our community. Have you ever lived or visited a place where garbage was a problem? What was your experience and how did you deal with it? We're going to hear from Keith right now. Keith, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question for Kevin, and it's about the composting method they use, because I've tried to use them in the past, but there's too much salt residual, and I asked the attendant, and he said they were throwing nitrogen on the piles to speed them up. Do they still do that?
That was a misspoken answer. We don't actually
throw. Show me urea. And I could see the salt on the edge of the where it had dried, evaporated. And I can see it days after you've watered it and it dries. You can see it on the mulch, or the compost. And I just wondered, because it's in the past, it's been a real problem for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, compost is naturally high in salts anyway. Food waste and yard waste are naturally high in salts. So anytime you get moisture and it evaporates, those salt crystals can actually form. But ultimately what you have to do is understand what that compost is being utilized for. What you're trying to grow, understand the soil test, and know how much to incorporate into that soil. So, you know, that's just it's something that we have to educate people on also. I mean, we create these composts, and ultimately the consumer has to kind of use it as it needs to be used and not just use it and educate themselves on how to use it. So so that's something we try to accomplish, and it's definitely a strain trying to teach everybody the ways to use compost.
He's called 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. And Craig, when you made the switch from not offering yard waste, you offered bins for composting, and there's a lot of educational efforts. Let's talk about compost for a minute, because this is a simple way that people can reduce the amount of things that they're throwing away and that are filling up our landfills, but there is a lot of confusion around it. So let's break it down.
There is a lot of confusion. in Johnson County, really, we put it up to the haulers, and the haulers really are the ones that do the material. We regulate the haulers, and we basically have told them that they can't take that material. It has to go for mulching or composting, not for landfill fodder. But with that, we actually do have a small pilot going on in Prairie Village right now with a homeowners association that is actually collecting curbside yard waste. But they're trying to figure out all the ins and outs and education and those kinds of things. But right now, really, Johnson County is learning about yard waste and how that's processed.
And the county was selling discounted compost bins for a while through a partnership with K-State Research.
You're right. We had, through one of the grant, basically, we had a partnership with K-State Extension and did a lot of education. We took some master gardeners and had them do 20 hours of education on composting, so they became master composters. And so we basically used them as an educational group to go out and talk to our community. And then along with that, we wanted to give them nice compost bins. And so we sold about 2,000 over the last 3 years. And we feel like it's been very, very successful to promote backyard composting, because when you do that and manage your own yard waste, then it doesn't have to go into the solid waste system. And so we really feel like that was a viable way to do that. And we had some other cities come on board. I think Mission has done that also. So we set up all kinds of educational opportunities to learn more about composting through the Speakers Bureau.
Marlene, are there similar programs like that in the Kansas City area, Missouri side?
Well, not directly through the city. One thing I need to mention is that the city of Kansas City, we're unique in that we residents do not pay directly for their trash services. Most of the cities in the metro, the residents pay directly for our city for their trash services. However, in Kansas City, Missouri, trash services are funded through a general fund. So the cost is not that directly passed on to the resident. So we deal with our trash services differently. We have several organizations, non-for-profit and private organizations, who provides composting to residents, either free or at a cost. So residents can, we do promote composting, but the city of Kansas City does not provide it to their residents at this time.
Kevin, what kind of work? I mean, so you're working with organic trash all the time. What does the dump look like, and what's kind of the science behind how you're creating compost with all the waste that?
Great question. You? Yeah, I mean, we're on a 10-acre site. We have windrows that we basically mix this material in. So you have a brown portion, which is your yard waste portion. You have a green portion, which is the food waste portion. It's about 70-30 mix. We mix that in, and it's really a scientific recipe. We test all these materials, we put them together so that we're creating the best environment for composting. During that compost process, it takes about 12 weeks. Temperatures reach 160 degrees, and it gets turned several times in that process. So ultimately, we're getting rid of any diseases, weed seeds, pathogens, things like that. So it really is a scientific process, and it is something that we take seriously when we produce compost.
And then where does it end up?
Basically, we the material that nature-wise compost, it becomes an ingredient in several things. Topsoil mixes, custom soil mixes, rain garden mixes, rooftop mixes, things that are really going back into the environment to help with stormwater runoff control, heat island effect, things like this. So ultimately, it really is contributing back to the environment instead of becoming a harmful thing for the environment when it goes in the landfill.
We're going to take a call from Barbara. She called 816-235-2888. You can also send an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call and for doing this show today. My question is, are commercial landlords required to provide dumpsters or receptacles for garbage for the tenants who rent from them?
Barbara, thanks.
Yes, Barbara. In the city of Kansas City, Missouri, the commercial industry, including landlords, they are required to provide dumpsters for your trash. Unfortunately, they're not mandated to provide recycling, but they have to provide you with a trash dumpster.
Barbara, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about solid waste management in our community. We'll talk more about landfills in our region, how full they are, the engineering and management that goes into operating landfills, and we'll continue to take your trash questions at 816-235-2888. I'm Suzanne Hogan. Central Standard returns in just a moment.
Can the garbage man really do all the things you said?
Oh, the garbage man can, Marge. The garbage man can. Who can take your trash out? Stomp it down for you. Shake the plastic bag and do the twisty thingy too. The garbage man.
That's the Garbage Man Can from The Simpsons. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Suzanne Hogan. We're talking garbage today, the work that goes into keeping our cities beautiful and free of trash. Our guests are Craig Wood, Solid Waste Management Coordinator for Johnson County, Marlene Leonce, Senior Environment Officer with the City of Kansas City, Missouri, Donald Finley, an Operations Crew with the Kansas City Public Works, and Kevin Anderson of Missouri Organic Recycling. I want to talk a little bit more about landfills. You can call in with your questions at 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. Share your experiences and insights on Facebook as well. But Craig Wood, how many landfills do we utilize in this area, and how does it work?
How does it work? There's really three landfills in the metro area. There's Courtney Ridge that's over by Sugar Creek, and then the city of Lee Summit currently has its own, and then we have the Johnson County landfill that's owned and operated by Deffenbaugh Industries. We also utilize two landfills that are actually outside the metro area. One is the Ham Quarry that's about 50 miles west of the state line, and then the Show Me landfill near Warrensburg that's about 50 miles east of the state line. So the transfer stations that we have in Olathe and that Town and Country uses in Harrisonville, they go to the outside landfills. And then metro-wide, we utilize the Courtney Ridge one, and Lee Summit uses their landfill. And then, but there's really regional waste flow that goes into these landfills. So it's not just communities. It's kind of a mishmash of everybody.
Donald Finley, you work for Kansas City Public Works. Do you take the garbage directly there, or is there a middle point at which then it goes to the landfill?
No, we take the garbage directly to the landfill, which is Courtney Ridge.
So all the garbage that you collect goes there?
Absolutely. All the garbage that we collect goes straight to Courtney Ridge.
And we'll get back to the landfills in just a minute. But so those trucks, are they compacting everything?
Yes. The trucks compact anywhere between 30, 35, 40,000 pounds of trash per day. Normally the truck, they run about 6 to 7 hours. So they're, they make about good two loads. So that's a lot of garbage coming out of Kansas City.
So you make two loads a day to the landfill?
Absolutely.
So when you go to these landfills, you just drop it off? And I've never seen a landfill work, and I'd like for you to paint the picture for me.
Okay. Well, pretty much when you approach, if you're a truck driver, you're going to drive up to a scale house. And that's kind of the initiation of where you come in. And what they're going to do is they're going to weigh your truck so that they know how much trash is on there. If you come in consistently, they're going to know the weight of your truck and the weight of your trash. And so then through subtraction, they're going to know how much trash you're depositing. From there, you're going to go up to what's called the working face. The working face is where basically they're actively depositing the trash at that moment. and that working face kind of moves across the area of the landfill as you deposit basically a lift of trash, or kind of about, usually it just depends on the landfill and how they're managing it, how quick that lift is. But then the trucks basically will deposit all of their trash. From there, the landfill operations take it, and they usually use heavy equipment. And what they're trying to do there is they push it up into the working face, and then they're going to compact that trash as much as they can.
Can you describe kind of the geology of a landfill?
Well, it depends on the area. But in our area, we have really a favorable geology where we have a lot of limestone and shale alternating. So we can actually – we have the ability to dig down deep into the earth through quarrying. And the landfills that we have now are really very highly engineered. So it's not just bare rock that you're putting that trash on. It's very highly engineered. They have to put a liner down now through federal regulations. It's called a Subtitle D landfill, and it's a part of the RCRA regulations through the EPA and the federal government. With that, they have to put through all kinds of infrastructure underneath all of the trash to make sure that it's insulated from the environment. All the water that percolates through the trash gets managed. Any of the water that touches the trash has to be managed differently than stormwater. That's called leachate. And depending on the landfill, they manage it a little bit different here and there. But it has to be treated before it's discharged.
How much space is left in the landfills that we're using right now? Do we know?
Well, each one has a little bit different. But in general, if you want to look at it, you know, we probably have quite a few years. But one of the things about landfills is you have to plan a long ways away, a long time into the future. In Johnson County, we actually plan a 20-year horizon. So we look forward in our solid waste management plan 20 years to make sure that we have plenty of space. I know that the special use permit that the Johnson County landfill works under is actually issued through the city of Shawnee, and they have a special use permit right now until 2043.
Marlene, is the city of Kansas City, Missouri looking that far ahead as well?
We are. However, in the immediate future, we do not have any plans for a landfill. Siting a landfill or even constructing one is not only is it very expensive, it's not a very popular topic. No one wants a landfill in their backyard. That NIMBY plays in. So rather than landfilling, through our climate protection goal, we've set some aggressive goals to increase our recycling diversion rate.
Why is it that some things take longer to decompose in landfills than if they were just having sun exposure? Yeah, Craig.
We actually had an interesting opportunity to answer your question. It takes a long time because with all the compaction and everything, the oxygen is used up very quickly in the landfill. And so you're in what's called an anaerobic environment. So there's no oxygen to help that degradation happen. We actually had an interesting opportunity in 2010 at the Johnson County landfill where we were excavating a part of the landfill where it was deposited in the early 70s. And we found a Kansas City Star from 1972. And you could read everything in it. You could see the picture. And that's really how we kind of dated things. We found everything from teddy bears to bread wrappers to lots of greeting cards, things like that, where it was in perfect shape. It looked, might have been a little decomposed on the edges, but the colors were vibrant. You know, we just found some amazing stuff. And to think that that paper, especially the newspaper, if you'd put it out on your back porch in the rain, it had been gone in a week. But it sat there in a landfill for about 40 years.
It's a little discouraging to hear that. But so then what are we doing regionally to look at this? Mid-America Regional Council has set some lofty goals to reduce how much we're putting in by 80% by 2023. And how do we get all these different groups, we're all sitting around a table now, to work together to make that happen and educate the public? anybody.
Yeah, I mean,
really.
I think
Kevin,
you would have taken that.
I haven't heard from you in a while.
I think, you know, amongst the guy, most of the people that are sitting here at the table, I mean, we are working together to make this happen. And we do meet with the Mid-America Regional Council to look at these goals and set, you know, milestones to make these things happen. And, you know, on my side of it, the yard waste was a big portion of that. And, you know, we try to do what we can to divert as much yard waste as possible, along with the organic waste, the food waste, which is the next big hurdle for this region, is that food waste. And then all the recycling things that we're all doing to try to promote recycling. I mean, we've got event recycling that's happening more and more all the time. So I think there's definitely work amongst the individuals that are part of this, you know, part of this group and others that make it happen.
Yeah, I think a big part of it too is not just residential. We're not going to solve this just through residential curbside recycling and waste diversion from residential. It's going to take a lot of the commercial sector. Commercial trash is about half of what's going into our region's landfills, and so you know, we need to talk with and educate a lot of businesses. A lot of businesses are doing a lot of great things, but we need more and more of that to happen and to really catch on. That everybody contributes, because everybody's contributing to the issue.
I agree with Craig. You know, regionally, we're doing a great job with our recycling issues and handling our recycling, but the conversation has to continue. We have to get more progressive. We have some cities like San Francisco, who is at 72% recycling. In Kansas City, we're right about 30%. So we have a ways to go, but we're on the right track. We've added another material facility, recovery facility, in the last few years. We're on the right track. So awareness. And it's not just awareness from the government. Our residents need to be aware too. They need to educate themselves and realize, when you go to the store and buy something, it comes home with you. It has to go somewhere. So make that conscious choice, whether you're buying a plastic bottle to recycle it or a glass bottle to recycle it, because our landfills will not be there forever. You know, that is not the tell-all answer to our trash problem. We have to find ways to dispose of our garbage or the commodities we use responsibly.
This is Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM. I'm Suzanne Hogan. We're learning about what happens to our garbage and the way solid waste is managed in our community. We're going to take a call from Diana. She called 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. Diana, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just have a quick question about how efficient the leaf and brush pickup is. I have a property that is a rental property, and the property right next to it has had a chronic problem of debris, brush that I'm sure is being dropped off by various people, to the point where it's covering the sidewalk. It's a mess. I've gone over and tried to clean it up myself. But in dealing with the city, I've discovered that if this property is owned by someone, say they're out of town, it's vacant. These people are paying their taxes. But I understand the policy is that if somebody is not living in the house, they will not pick up trash or brush, even on the designated times for the brush and leaf pickup. To me, that seems counterproductive, in that if it's not picked up, it just becomes worse. It becomes a dumping ground, a virtual landfill, as you.
Yeah, Diana, thanks for the call.
Is there a more efficient way that, in other words, if the person is paying taxes, shouldn't that brush, if it's bundled up, at least be picked up?
Is that true, even, that they don't pick it up?
Actually, we do pick it up. However, we have two curbside leaf and brush services every year. So we have one in the spring and one in the fall. Because of one, budgets and time and staff, we do not always pick up leaf and brush from the curb every day. Hence the reason why we operate three leaf and brush drop-off centers that residents can drop their leaf and brush for free. But we do pick it up on the curb, but we have designated times when we pick it up on the curb. So if there's a vacant property and there's illegal dumping on the vacant property, that's where our enforcement crew comes in, and they and they issue a violation, and that gives the property owner time to remediate their own property. Once that's done, and if they have not done that, then city crew comes and picks it up, and that property owner will be billed for that special pickup.
Craig Wood, Johnson County.
I just wanted to just kind of throw in how it works in Johnson County. Unfortunately, but every contract and every hauler and sometimes city contracts, depending on who you have your contract with, really kind of determines how often our yard waste is collected in Johnson County. So it just kind of varies by city and the hauler and how they work out their contract.
I want to get to household hazardous waste, too. And Donald Finley, as a person who picks up trash every day, how often are you seeing that people are putting things into bags that they really should not be in, that should be disposed in a safer way?
Well, yeah, and that is true. You know, we pick up quite a bit of hazardous waste, you know, and we try to educate people on this. But unfortunately, you know, you're going to have those people who's going to try to skip, save a few dollars, and they're going to do it anyway. You know, things such as paint, you know, things like that, they try to put it inside their trash bag. You know, the guys, when they pick up the trash bag, they don't actually open up the bag and see what's in it. They just grab the trash bag, throw it on the truck, you know. So we try to educate, you know, and let the people know what to do with their paint and those sort of things.
Yeah, and what should be done with those things?
Well, I think first we need to kind of define what household has this waste.
Please.
So drain cleaner, that's a household has this waste. Motor oil. Paints, pesticides, those are household hazardous waste. And the way the city of Kansas City, we handle our household hazardous waste is we have a facility where residents can bring these items to the facility. It's no appointment needed. Tuesdays and Fridays, Thursdays and Fridays, residents can come in anywhere from 9 to 6 p.m. and drop their materials at no extra charge. Or on Saturdays, they can bring their items from 9 to 4. Also, the city does host several household hazardous waste collection events throughout the year. And they can go to the city's website, www.kcmo.org/trash, and get the schedule of events, and household hazardous waste can be disposed of in that manner.
And we'll have all that information on our website as well. And in Johnson County then, Craig?
In Johnson County, the county operates a household hazardous waste site. And it's basically household chemicals. It's really important because not only is that material getting properly disposed of, but one of the bad things that can happen with that is if you start mixing chemicals in your trash, then they can start mixing, there can be adverse effects, and you can start fires. And that's not good for anybody. That's not good for the haulers. That's not good for the landfill.
We're going to take a call from Mark in Johnson County. Mark, welcome to Central Standard.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Hey, I have a question about, I don't know, it seems like on one hand, buying the packaging like the Capri Sun that's in the minimalist bag or the aseptic packaging is good because it's minimal, but that ends up in the landfill because you can't recycle that film and paper. The other alternative is buying the bottle, the PET bottle, that is much more bulk, but it is recyclable. So should we be buying the recyclable bottle over the minimalist to save the landfill, or can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure thing, Mark. Thanks.
I guess I'll start. That's a complex question. I would say it's kind of up to you. How do you want to manage that? That's why we have choices. The bag can be recycled through certain avenues. There's a company called TerraCycle that actually does use that stuff as a resource. Plastic film like that material, your bread bags and stuff, that's a hard to recycle kind of material right now where we're at. But things are changing constantly, so those kinds of things can change. You know, that's really your personal choice of how you want to manage that. You know, I can't tell anybody what to do, but just we're trying to say be educated about what your choices are.
And as I was reading about the plans for the Mid-America Regional Council to make this reduction of 80%, it was kind of this idea of seeing things as resource management versus waste management. And Kevin Anderson, we haven't heard from you for a minute. What are your thoughts about that?
You know, I mean, basically, if it's a resource, you need to manage it. But I mean, there's so many things that that material can be used for. You never want to put it in the landfill. I mean, it's just you know, silly to do so. So ultimately, making good choices when you buy materials, understanding what those things are going to do in their life cycle, and utilizing them properly is really the way to go.
What are other cities doing to kind of look at their waste as a resource? Some new ways of thinking about it. Marlene?
We're looking at one, increasing the number of items we can recycle, and that helps give consumers choices. That's one of the ways we're looking at it. Also making recycling more accessible to consumers. So making sure everybody can recycle. I know through the Mid-America Regional Office, they offer grants to small businesses or people looking to start a business that will encourage recycling. So there are several opportunities out there.
We're almost out of time, and we're going to have a list of resources on our website at kcur.org. But before we go, Donald Finley, I'd like to know, what's something that's simple that people could do that would make your job easier and safer and more enjoyable than it already is?
Well, number one, respect the garbage man. Respect the garbage man. I'm about safety. Two guys are out there every day picking up our trash, trying to make it clean. So if you see the garbage man, respect them, go around them, make it safe for my guys.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank Donald Finley. He's an operations crew worker for the Kansas City Public Works. Thanks for coming in and for doing what you do.
Thank you.
Also, Marlene Leon, Senior Environment Officer with the City of Kansas City, Missouri. Thank you.
Thank you.
Craig Wood, Solid Waste Management Coordinator for Johnson County. And Kevin Anderson, Missouri Organic Recycling. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
We're out of time. Tune in tomorrow for Central Standard. We'll be talking to neurologists about what makes us itch and what we know and remains a mystery about migraine headaches. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and myself, with help from Claire McInerney, Ross Steinmetz, and Sangeeta Shastri. Up to Date is next with energy policy. I'm Suzanne Hogan, and this is Central Standard on KCUR. Enjoy the day.